is, if the Republicans win the Senate and if the Democrats win the Senate, what happens to the farm bill?
Well, I think the Senate's done its work. I think there was bipartisan support. I think Senator Stabenow and Senator Roberts, Chairwoman Stabenow and the ranking member, worked very, very well together. And I think they've basically did a terrific job of getting a bill through the process and with a strong bipartisan vote. So I wouldn't imagine on that particular issue that you would see significant differences. I think the problem is getting the House to do its work. And the fear that I have is that we don't get it done. A new Congress comes in and you have to basically start from scratch. That's really the question. If you have a new Congress, regardless of who's in charge, what happens? And you've got a lower baseline, you got less resource to play with, you got deeper cuts that are likely, and rural America will have its share unfairly and disproportionately put the burden on rural America, and I just don't think that's fair.
If the Republicans win the Senate, would there be an incentive for the Republicans to push the farm bill back with the intent of reopening it again under a Republican Senate as opposed to the current?
No, I don't think that's right. I think you're thinking differently on this. There's a very strong bipartisan level of support in the Senate for what they passed. There's a commitment to what they passed. They don't necessarily believe that it has to be $184 billion of reductions, and that's, I think, what's at stake here. I think there are some in the House who want very, very deep cuts to farm programs and to the nutrition programs. They just didn't want to have that debate and conversation before the election. And I think that's the risk. You come back after the election, regardless of who wins, you still got to get a farm bill done. And if there are people who believe that an appropriate amount of reduction is $184 billion, I think there's going to continue to be a challenge there.
Mr. Secretary, can you make a comment about how important it is for FDA to grant these waivers for aflatoxin levels in corn, which is a problem we're having with this corn crop, to get it in the feed supply, especially for these dairy plants?
We are monitoring that. I haven't checked this for a while, but the last time I checked it wasn't quite as significant as a lot of people thought it was going to be. I'll have to check back on that, but that's why I haven't checked it, because people indicated it was probably not as bad as people thought. Obviously, that's a concern. If you got a quality issue, that's a concern. But I'm not hearing that. What I am hearing is that yields in many parts of the country are a little bit better than people expected. I'm hearing surprise from some producers that they're getting yields that are higher. And by no means does that get us out of the woods, but it does indicate the importance of science and the importance of good technique, and our producers certainly have that.
If President Obama is reelected, will you stay on as USDA Secretary?
That's a complicated question, and it's complicated because my wife's running for Congress, and that there's an issue there. But let me just say this: I don't want to presuppose or prejudge what the American public is going to do. They get to choose first. Nor do I want to presuppose what the president would do if he is successful, and I believe he will be. I'll just simply say that I've got the greatest job in America, and I have told the president not once but twice that I have the greatest job in America. So if you can feel that you can tell the President of the United States that you got a better job than he has, you must really like your job.
What do you think the chances are that we return to 1940s dairy pricing, parity pricing in the U.S.?
Well, I hope that doesn't happen. Obviously, there are some people that would think that'd be great, but the vast majority of folks would not, and I think it would cause a rippling effect that would be damaging to agriculture generally. I think we need to get this farm bill done. We should have gotten it done before September 30th. We need to get it done before December 30th.
Is it necessary to link drought relief to the five-year farm bill package?
Necessary. Let me ask a clarified question.
Issues.
Well, they are, but they're not. The reason they're not is because there is a desire on the part of folks to bring back to life the disaster assistance programs that were in place in the 2008 Farm Bill that would have provided help and assistance if they had been in effect. And the reason that's a good idea is to have consistency in terms of how you react to disaster as opposed to an ad hoc situation where you end up having people put stuff on the bill because they know it's going through the process and it ends up being a lot more expensive than it needs to be. That disaster assistance program worked very well for livestock. Didn't work so well for the crop folks because it took too long and it was too complicated. But for disaster, for forage and livestock, we got the money out the door quickly. That's what people need in a disaster situation. So that's why I think it's important for it to continue. So to a certain extent, it is linked. I don't think you necessarily have to have a separate drought package on top of. If that's what you're asking in order to get the Farm Bill passed, I think the Farm Bill is going to pass on its own strength.
Mr. Secretary, since we're at World Dairy Expo, and you alluded to it in your remarks, what would be wrong with the program that allowed farmers to get $38 a hundredweight or $50 a hundredweight?
Well, for the farmer, not much. But in the long term, basically what would happen is that I fear that processors that would be reliant on milk would then begin to look at reformulating their product to move away from milk. That might impact long-term the market. I think it would have, obviously, a significant impact on consumers. And as consumers go into a grocery store and they see milk prices jumping significantly, will they buy less? Will they buy differently? And will those losing that market share, will it be temporary or permanent? I think that's the risk here. You know, it isn't really about surrendering here. We shouldn't surrender. We should affirmatively make a statement about the importance of rural America and the dairy industry by passing a farm bill that tries to address the issues that dairy has been grappling with, not just this year, but for many years. When you lose 50% of your producers in nearly a decade, you ought to wake up and understand there's something wrong with the system. And to the credit of the Senate, House Ag Committee, they're trying to fix it. And I think that's what we have to have. We don't want to have a surrender back to a policy. We want an affirmative action by our Congress. That's why we elect these people. We elect them to do something in the face of a problem, not just to simply kick the can down the road.
Can you make a comment on having the lack of a farm bill now in areas outside of the Midwest, kind of like I'm thinking West Coast, Southeast, where you got a lot of specialty crops and producers?
Well, there are a couple of impacts. Number one, the Specialty Crop Research Initiative and the Specialty Crop Block Grant go out of existence on October 1st. Those are programs that play to the strengths of other parts of the country. Number two, we're all interested in exports. And the reality is that the market access program and some of the foreign market programs and some of the specialty crop technical assistance programs within Foreign Ag Service, their funding stops, and we can't provide that assistance at a time when it's would be one thing if there was no competition, but there is competition out there. You know, so I talked to Jerry Ritz the other day, the Canadian minister, and I'm sure the Canadian minister is going, oh, it's really too bad the U.S. doesn't have export assistance. I guess we'll maybe ramp up our export assistance today. So we get that market share. And we got these free trade agreements that we entered into. We've got Trans-Pacific Partnership discussions going on where people are being a bit more flexible. It's a huge opportunity for us to expand trade. And yet we're not in a position to be able to assist it. So every producer gets impacted by that. You also get the beginning farmer and development, rancher development program also impacts and affects the ability of young people who are going to school to access this farming opportunity. That ceases and ends. You know, I don't know there's a whole lot of CRP interest, but there is interest in some of the other conservation programs, the smaller conservation programs and the CSP program. That, too, is constrained or frozen. I mean, it's just not a good way to do business. You know, I'll tell you what. There isn't a farmer in this country or producer in this country that in the middle of the harvest, when work was not completed, that would just get off the combine and say, well, you know, I'll just take a couple weeks off and see how things are. They don't do that. They work till midnight. They get up early. They work until they get the job done. Put the combine away, then they relax. Well, how is Congress? Why is Congress any different? They had 8 working days in September. They left early. They had the votes. It's because they didn't want to have a debate. And they didn't want to have a debate so that people wouldn't know what the real plan was. And I think that just does a disservice to rural America, and it really threatens the possibility that nothing gets done or something gets done that is, at the end of the day, less than what it would otherwise be.
Mr. Secretary, the dairy industry has some real concerns about the Pacific trade deal, specifically bringing in New Zealand and the likes of Fonterra. Is there a compromise here? Your thoughts on that?
Well, there have been a number of negotiations with the Trans-Pacific Partnership on a variety of issues, and I will tell you that at the top of the ag list is always dairy, so that we are working through that process. We're not going to enter into an agreement that that destroys our dairy industry. It's too important. And I think the Trade Representative's Office understands that. They are the lead on this. And we have continually encouraged them to understand the importance of getting that done right.
Time for one more.
No more. All right.